Okay. Hey, Honor.
Hey, hi, Honor.
Hi, guys.
I'm kind of in the dark. Should I open this up more?
I don't know.
You need a light in front of you, so you'd have to face the window.
Let me switch around here. I think that's going to be better.
There we go.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Oh Lord, I like the darkness better.
Zoom is not flattering.
No, it's not.
Hey, Anne, how do I get out of my background?
Go down to your video camera and click the little arrow next to it, and then yeah. it should be
Just choose virtual background, but I don't have anything for.
If you choose it, then it'll give you the choice to click on none.
None. Okay, didn't see that one. All right.
One piece of hair that won't lay down. How's Hollister doing, Honor?
Peachy.
Peachy.
You know, it's just with COVID and everything, I understand, you know, what's going on, but one of my biggest fears is, you know, starting to cite people for not wearing masks, having people arrested because they're not wearing masks. And unfortunately, my worst fear came to fruition yesterday, and a woman was arrested, and it was plastered all over social media. And of course you have people who are saying, good, great, we love it. And then you have other people who are just, they're bashing the police. They're, you know, it's really sad.
Yeah, it spikes so much contention. I was reading a Facebook post, not on my first one because I've been filtering it, but the district homepage, and you know, this the news feed where everybody is, and one woman was saying that everybody who doesn't wear a mask needs to be put into a concentration camp.
Yeah,
and all these people telling her she was whoa, but she wasn't budging, and all these people were telling her that's too much.
I had that literally on my personal Facebook page, she flat said the next time she's uptown and she sees somebody without a mask, she's going to walk up and punch him in the face.
Oh, gee.
You know, I have other people who are saying, you know, they don't want to wear a mask. I hope they get it and die. And it's like, people.
Oh, my word.
And it doesn't really help when, you know, and like I said, this woman, it was videotaped by a friend of mine, her getting arrested. She was at a board of supervisors meeting and she walked in. She didn't have a mask on. She didn't sit next to anybody. You know, she social distanced. She stayed away. She wasn't causing any problems. Of course, it's not illegal. So what did they arrest her for? Trespassing.
What?
And they arrest her for trespassing. Not because she didn't have a mask on. They asked her to leave and she said, why? I'm here for the board, for the meeting. I have a statement that I want to make during public comment.
they wouldn't have it. So they arrested her. And of course, everybody's, you know, not everybody, but there's a lot of people. Good. I'm glad. I hope she never gets out of jail. You know, she's good before she gets. And like I said, I knew this was going to happen. And I tried to explain to the community, this stuff gets voted in, this is what's going to happen. And now I've even got the mayor who reposted this video of her being arrested, not because, you know, oh my God, you know, poor woman. It's like, he can't stand her. He hates her. So he did it just for a slap in the face. So now I got people who want to recall him.
So it's just started all kinds of stuff.
Oh, you know, I have two more years and I'm done. I'm leaving California. I'm never running it for politics again. This stuff is crazy.
Well, it's a little crazy outside of California too. I have grandchildren who live in other states, and it gets a little crazy there too. So it's kind of hard.
It's especially crazy in San Benito County, Honor.
Okay. We have a bunch of lunatics for government officials. My God, I have a mayor who runs all over Hollister doing videos without masks on. But you, God forbid, if you're caught not wearing one. They just arrested a woman at a Board of Supervisors yesterday for not having a mask on.
No, we did our training today, and we were visited by the chief enforcement officer on behalf of the County of Monterey Health Bureau. So fines, fine books. This is serious stuff.
Yeah. My code enforcement officer has already gotten numerous threats because she cited 10 people without masks on. And she sent me an email that she got from one guy. The guy wasn't very bright. He puts it, American Patriot, Trump 2020, but his name is at the top of the paper. Email. So I'm gonna have a little fun with that one.
Well, we're starting this meeting with a great welcome and a great sort of celebration of the times that we're in, and sticking together, setting the example. This is the Budget Personnel Nominating Committee meeting today, December 16th, 2020. I want to thank everybody for attending. I think we have quorum, Ann.
Yes, we do.
Like that. So I just want to thank everybody for zooming in today. Ann, you want to just go ahead and do roll call real quick?
Yes, I will. Please answer here when I call your name. Chris Lopez.
Here.
Honor Spencer.
Here.
Marianne Carbone.
Here.
Ryan Coonerty. Make sure he's not over here in the participants. If you give me just a moment. No, he isn't. Okay. Steve McShane.
Yep, here.
Okay, we have a quorum.
Great. Okay. Well, we'll start out with public comment. Anybody that might be present or have contacted us, given that this meeting is being conducted in accordance with the governor's action under COVID-19. So let's see, any items not on the agenda, persons willing or wishing to comment. Ann, do you see anything? I don't.
I don't, and I haven't received any emails.
Okay, that's okay, good. Well, then we'll move on to going ahead, our very first action, and that is to approve the actions taken at the November 18th meeting. Let's see if there's any board members that have questions, and if there's any members of the public that wanted it polled. You see anything, Ann? Okay. We're looking for a motion to approve our actions taken on the November 18th executive meeting. Is there a motion?
Lopez so moves.
Thank you, Lopez. Is there a second?
Sorry, Carbone, second.
Seconded by Carbone. Okay, great. Ann, how about a roll call vote?
All righty. When I call your name, please say yes or no, or aye or nay. Chris Lopez?
Yes.
Honor Spencer?
Yes.
Marianne Carbone?
Yes.
Steve McShane?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Excellent. Okay. Our next item is to receive the draft financial statements as part of the independent audit for year ending June 30th. As I understand it, this is not an action item, but more just a report. We'll go ahead and turn that over to Rosa. Rosa, would you like to kick it off?
Sure, thank you. Thank you, members of the board. So our first item is to receive the draft financial statements. Mitesh is here from Badawi and Associates, and he'll do a presentation. So on an annual basis, the district has an independent audit, and it's completed by a firm specializing in governmental agencies. For the fiscal year on June 30th, the audit reports were completed by Badawi and Associates. The audit was conducted in accordance with the generally accepted auditing standards and in accordance with audit and reporting guidelines as required by the State Controller's Office. As noted in Badawi and Associates Independent Auditor's Report, the financial statements present fairly the financial position of the district. There were no significant deficiencies or material weaknesses identified in the course of the audit. As noted in the manager's discussion and analysis section and reflected on the financial statements, the district's net position is about 12.1 million, and it's a decrease of about 3.1 million from the prior year. This decrease is primarily due to an increase in grant reimbursements. The ending fund balances was about 17.5 million, which is also a decrease of about 2.3 million from the previous year. Our general fund had a $435,000 net surplus. Some of the contributing factors, as we all know, is a COVID-19 pandemic and stay-at-home order. The district suspended all the fixed asset purchases that were budgeted for. Training and travel was suspended. So decrease in supplies expense, and another large one was a delay of our wood stove changeout grant program. The grant funds combined had about a $1.4 million surplus, and that's due to timing of grant projects. Major factors that contributed to the changes in each of the fund balances are listed on page 7 of the manager's discussion and analysis. The financial highlights are also included in that section. So I included the audited statements. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mitesh. He's going to do a presentation on the financials. And let me introduce you to Mitesh Desai from Badawi and Associates.
Thank you, Rosa. Thank you, members of the board. I'm going to try to share my screen. Hopefully I get the right monitor here that has my presentation. So please bear with me. It doesn't come out right, but. Great. Right. Well, I think just as Rosa was mentioning, completed our audit. This year was a bit more challenging than previous, just because we had to do the audit remotely. So there was an additional challenge, which the district staff were very helpful in, being open to having video meetings and also providing information by scanning and uploading. So that did help in the audit process this year. And hopefully it's not something that we have to do completely like that next year. But things we'll go over in the presentation. We have our engagement team, the deliverables and scope of the audit, areas that we paid attention to closely, our auditor's report, required communications, and also go over new accounting standards. And I'll leave some time for questions. There are any. So with regards to our engagement team, so I was the audit partner and I had one of my associates, Connor, who was helping me with the audit this year. And the audit, we also had a quality control reviewer who is reviewing our work and also reviewing the report independently just to make sure nothing was overlooked, just because we also assist in preparing the financials for the district. The deliverables, so our deliverables are only the independent auditor's report, which are the first two pages after the table of contents in the report. And we'll be issuing a letter to those charged with governance or to the board, pretty much just summarizing what we'll be discussing later in the presentation. So just in terms of communication, it'll just be a letter talking about the significant matters that we have to deal with this year and the results of the audit. In terms of areas of primary audit emphasis, so improper revenue recognition is a risk in every audit that's by default that we need to address. And we do this by doing a lot of testing of license permits and fees. We review the allowance for uncollectible accounts. Seems of recent that the district is getting a significant amount of grants in terms of grant advances. So this year we did pay attention to unearned grant revenues closely, where you've received a grant from the state or from another agency, but haven't spent it yet. So we wanted to make sure that those were appropriately classified as unearned grant revenues versus recognized immediately upon receipt. Other than that, pension and OPEB are complex accounting areas. So we do pay closer attention to that by reviewing actuarial reports, reviewing the audit opinions issued by CalPERS auditors, reviewing census data, either data that was provided to the actuary directly or is submitted electronically via payroll reporting. And we also assisted management with the journal entries for pension and OPEB this year. Our audit report is an unmodified audit. We issued an unmodified opinion, which is a clean opinion or unqualified opinion. What that means is that the financial statements are presented fairly in all material respects. The significant accounting policies have been consistently applied. Estimates are reasonable. And we believe that the disclosure in the financial statements are complete and accurate. Just a bit more on our report is that one of our clients, the board members were not necessarily happy. They thought that by saying fairly presented in all material respects, we were giving the client a B minus or a A minus grade on the statements versus 100%. And the reason why we say fairly stated in all material respects is that we don't provide absolute assurance. We provide a reasonable assurance. Our audit is risk-based and also performed based on sampling and looking at material items, which is why we only can say that they are fairly stated in all material respects. But so that's the best you can get. Going over the financials for this year, I know Rose already highlighted a few things, but just looking at the government-wide statements, which are the first statements when you look through the financials, they present the district on a consolidated basis. You can see that there wasn't really much change in terms of the assets this year. Your cash balances relatively stay the same. Capital assets are about the same. Cash seems like it went down this year a lot by issuance of those planning grants. But you also received a lot of cash in terms of new funding from the state and other grantors, so they kind of offset each other. Looking at liabilities, you'll see here that you do have a significant increase in other liabilities, and that is mainly coming from unearned grant revenue, where you received a lot of grant proceeds but haven't spent those grants yet. So you have to reflect those as unearned revenues at this point. As you spend down those grants, those will be reflected as revenues on your statements. Also, you'll notice there was an increase this year in your net pension liability. And this was a result of a increase at the overall plan level. Because the district is part of a cost-sharing plan, the methodology used to record a liability on your books is by taking a share of the total number at the plan level. So this year, the whole plan went larger just because the plan investments didn't do as well compared to the interest accrued on the liability. So that resulted in a net increase in the plan liability. So your liability in as well, and with everyone else, went up as well. You'll notice here there was an increase in the deferred inflow of resources. And that is a result of some changes. The district got a new actuarial report this year for OPEB, or the Retiree Healthcare Plan. And you'll notice here with long-term liabilities that there was a decrease of about almost 900,000. And that decrease is mainly coming from your OPEB, retiree health liability. And that was because of some changes in the actuarial data and also changes in assumptions that were used by the new actuary compared to the previous actuarial report. I don't believe there was anything that was wrong in the previous actuarial report. It was just updated for new things that occurred based on the changes in the data and new trends. Because of the rules, I guess accounting guidance is that you can't reflect all of those changes directly into expense. So you have to recognize a deferred item. This deferred item is gonna be amortized over time and reflected into the income statement. Looking at net position is just your assets minus your liabilities. So at the end of the day, what is the district's equity in a sense? So you'll see no significant change here. You had, your capital assets stayed about the same. You did have a significant decrease in your restricted equity, and that's mainly from spending down those due to those grant expenditures. And your unrestricted position went down as well, which is related to those grants as well. Likewise here, and you'll see on the following slide that your changes in net position decreased significantly this year, mainly from a large cash outflow for those planning grants. In addition, there was a higher pension expense this year because your overall pension liability went up. So that's a non-cash expense that increased from the prior year, offset by, I guess, a lower OPEB expense because your OPEB liability went down. But most of this came from the increase in the planning grants. So just looking at the general fund, and you'll see this here, but this is the expense coverage, just looking at it for the past 3 years. What this is a measure of, you know, in the unlikely situation where you receive no more revenues going forward, how long would you be able to operate? So the GFOA recommends 2 to 4 months. You can see that the district has quite a healthy, unrestricted fund balance here from that, you know, you could operate from 8 months. You know, you've been spending down your fund balance, so it's gone down to 5, which is nothing to be alarmed about, since those are just generally timing of when those grants are issued. But you can see here that when you're looking at the general fund, there is an increase in expense or expenditures from about 11 million to 15 million, which were due to those planning grants. Looking over some pension slides. So this is just a trend of your pension contributions the past 3 years. You can see that gradually every year they're going up, which is nothing unusual, unfortunately. This is common with every agency, as CalPERS is gradually trying to get more funding into the plan. To be interesting to see, going forward, depending on how their plan investments are doing this year and next year, how they're going to try to make up for, maybe not getting as much investment returns as they planned for. But what I've heard is there's no expectation of a spike. So, for 2021, 2022, there's no planned big spike to immediately catch up. It will be a gradual increase as you go. But it's something to plan for. Looking at the pension funds funded status, this is very, these numbers are very prone to adjustment or prone to change because they are mainly just picking up a piece of the total plan. But you can see here that there was an increase in the total pension liability. There was a slight increase in the fiduciary net position, but the net was an increase between the two, which is why your net pension liability went up this year. In the notes to the financial statements, there are some sensitivity disclosures. Your pension and OPEB numbers that are presented are estimates. They're estimates because they're based on actuarial valuations, their assumptions taken into account. And those numbers are subject to change. And with that, your number will change as those assumptions are adjusted. So the most significant assumption in that goes into this number is the discount rate. And the way it's determined is by looking at investment returns over the past 10 years. The actuary is supposed to do a test to make sure whether there will be enough money in the trust to pay for all the benefits that will come out of the, that will be need to be paid for everyone who's in the plan. So currently the discount rate, which for CalPERS, which is used by everyone, is 7.15%. But had the actuary used a discount rate that was 1% lower or higher, you can see that this gives you a bit of a range of what that number could be. So you can see that your net pension liability could have been from 4.2 million all the way to about 12.6 million. So you're picking, I guess, a bit of the middle number there, but this is just to give you an idea. If you wanted to get an idea of what's the maximum this number could mean. So 12.6 could be that, or it could be as little as 4.2. It's just information for you to take into account for planning, for anything that you want to, if you wanted to address your funding, for example. Looking at your OPEB contributions, no significant changes here. There was a slight decrease this year, nothing significant. Looking at your OPEB funded status, so this is where I was mentioning, your plan assets is improving, so that's a good sign that you have more money in the plan. And also a good thing that happened this year is that looking at when the actuary looked at the new data, there were a lot of things that had changed that resulted in an improved estimate of what that actuarial liability was. And I believe there are some changes to the the healthcare cost trend rate. A lower healthcare cost trend rate was used. All of which added up to a very significant decrease in the net OPEB liability, which is your funded status, which is a good surprise, I guess, if you wanted to look at it. You would normally expect this number to gradually either stay the same or go up from year to year. Similarly, with pension, you have a sensitivity disclosure that gives you a range for your OPEB liability, if the discount rate was 1% lower or higher. You can see that your net OPEB liability could have been about $500,000 to about $250,000. Also looking at with OPEB, another significant assumption is the healthcare cost trend rate, So that's just how the actuary expects healthcare costs to go up in the future. So here you would see that your liability would be, it's about a similar range, about a quarter of a million to about half a million. So nothing, not as great of a range like we did see with the pension, but a little bit of just FYI. Going over our required communications, not really the most exciting slides, but required communication that we have to present to the board. Just to clarify our responsibilities as the auditors, we are not, even though we assist in preparing that document, which are the financial statements and the notes, we're not the preparers of that document, or we're not the owners of that document. We are just simply auditing them and giving an opinion on them. Also with that, we evaluate internal controls, look at the tone at the top, determine if there was any compliance or material non-compliance, and we communicate with you at the end of the audit the results. Management, they're responsible for, I guess, everything else. They're responsible for the financial statements. So once we prepare them, we provide them to management to look over, to tie out to their CHA balances, any adjustments we propose, they agree on. They're responsible for implementing those internal controls, to make sure that all the numbers are right, to make sure there's no fraud. They have to inform us if there was any known or suspected fraud during the year. They are responsible for complying with laws and regulations, and also with taking corrective action whenever they are audit findings. So one of our responsibilities, which is, why you hire us to do the audit versus doing an audit internally, is that you want an independent audit. You want an audit that is free of bias. So it's our responsibility to maintain independence from the district. We adhere to rules set by the AICPA and the California State Board of Accountancy. Pretty much, there are certain services which would impair our independence, like anytime we take on a role where we act as management or we record journal entries or make decisions for the district, that's an impairment of independence. We did not perform any of those type of services. We do prepare the financial statements, but that is a service that we can take safeguards to provide to make sure that we're not doing anything to impair our independence. And we also pass around client lists and checklists to all our staff to make sure they don't have any relationship with the district, either directly or through some family members or anything like that. Our audit was performed timely in accordance with our engagement letter. And the good thing this year, a break for Rosa and her staff, is that there was no new accounting pronouncements to implement this year. There were some that were due, but I think there was a lot of concern raised to GASB, and they postponed the implementation of what was due to be implemented this year. So nothing was due this year, although that would, everything now is due to be implemented in the following years. In addition to pension and OPEB, other significant estimates that go into those financials are the allowance for uncollectible accounts and the useful life of capital assets. Other than that, there's no other significant estimates. In terms of disclosures that accompany the financial statements, you can read all of them if you want, but this is just a listing of the most significant disclosures. The disclosures provide meaning to the numbers. So, for example, on the financials, you may see capital assets, you may see a number, but it doesn't provide you any further information. The note disclosure is going to give you a breakdown of the capital assets by type, how much of it is relating to accumulated depreciation, what were the activities during the year. Similarly with cash and investments, pension and OPEB have a lot of information in there about what benefits are offered, what were the assumptions used. In addition, this year, for all our clients, we've added a disclosure for COVID-19, just pretty much disclosing what was the impact on the numbers and operations due to the pandemic this year. Some clients are affected more than others, of course. We're happy to report we had no difficulties in performing the audit. We not have any significant audit adjustments and no significant risk or exposures needed to be identified or disclosed individually in the financial. We had no disagreements with management. As Rose mentioned, we didn't have any material weaknesses identified during our audit. We will be obtaining a representation letter. Pretty much a representation letter is a needed piece of evidence where management pretty much represents to us that everything they gave us was correct. Everything, they did not omit anything to us that we needed to know about. So that just pretty much ties in with everything else that we've done for the audit. Sometimes management may decide to get independent opinions by consulting with third parties or with another CPA firm. Maybe they are not completely sure if we are proposing something correct to them. We're not aware of any such consultations that we need to inform you about. And other than the engagement letter and the representation letter, we haven't had any significant communications with management in written form. We don't have any concerns about the district, you know, continuing to operate within the next year. And we're not aware of any fraud or illegal acts that we need to bring to your attention. And lastly, this is just a slide on the upcoming pronouncements that we'll be working with management on in the upcoming years. Most of them, it looks like a lengthy list, so it looks like a lot of work, but you know, probably only a handful of them really apply to the district that would require some work, probably fiduciary activities, leases. Deferred compensation plans most likely will not apply, but will be needed to look it over, and subscription-based information technology arrangements most likely. And with that, I would like to thank you for, you know, allowing us to provide auditing services to the district. It's always a pleasure working with the district staff. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. To conclude.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Mitesh and Rosa. At this point in time, we'll entertain any questions or even comments from committee members. Okay, I don't see any. Do you, Anne? Let me see if I can look it over here. We can take it to the public if there's anybody that's submitted anything or has their hand raised. I don't see anything, so we can come back. This is not an action item. We are receiving these financial statements and the audit report. So certainly want to thank Mitesh for his time.
Actually, we are, the action is to recommend acceptance by the board of directors.
Okay, I didn't know if we'd voted on this in the past. Does it require a vote then, should we, or?
It won't hurt.
Yes, it does. Okay. In the past, yes, the committee has recommended to the board of directors to take the action.
Thanks, Les. Okay, well then we'll go ahead and entertain. Oh, there we go. We've got a motion from Coonerty. Is there a second?
Second, Carbone.
Thank you. Seconded by Carbone. Then you want to go ahead and call the roll, Ann? Thanks.
Yes, thank you. When I call your name, please answer yes or no. Chris Lopez?
I'm going to vote yes, but Richard, I just want to be clear that lunch over the last 6 months has been a little off. So spending a little extra money there in the coming years based on this report, I'd be okay with. Thanks.
I'm getting hungry.
Thank you.
Honor we saved $400,000 not having lunch.
Yes.
Thank you. Marianne Carbone?
Yes.
Ryan Coonerty?
Yes.
Steve McShane.
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right, thank you. We'll move on to our next item, which is another report, and we'll make a recommendation to the board as it relates to grant expenses for the Farmer, the CAP, and the Moyer grant programs. Rosa, would you like to kick that off?
Sure, okay. So the next item, it's to receive report, recommend that the Board of Directors approve a fiscal year 2021 budget adjustment for increasing the grant expenditures for the Farmer, CAP, and the Moyer grant programs. So with receives grant funds from the Farmer, CAP, and Moyer programs include monies to be used for administrative costs. Any interest that is earned from these funds is also required to be used for either administrative costs or additional grants. The planning division has identified admin and interest revenues from the previous fiscal years 18-19 and 20 that have not been used. But they are required to be liquidated by June 30th of 2021 for the agreements with CARB. So the planning division would like to increase the grants expense budgets for these three programs. And they want to use them for additional grants. So approval is required from the board of directors for any budget adjustments exceeding $10,000. So staff is requesting that the committee recommend to the board of directors to adopt this resolution of the 2021 budget adjustments. So it'd be $76,000 for the farmer grants, $2,000 for CAP, and about $19,000 for the Moyer grants. So it's almost $148,000 total.
Got it. Thank you, Rosa, for bringing this forward and recommending this. Any questions from committee members? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and take it out to the public to see if there's anything out there. I don't see anything at this time. Do you, Ann? No, okay. So we'll go ahead and bring it back for a motion.
I make a motion to accept.
Okay, moved Lopez, by second. Spencer, seconded by Lopez. Ann, you want to call the roll?
Alrighty. When I call your name, please say yes or no. Chris Lopez?
Yes.
Honor Spencer?
Yes.
Marianne Carbone?
Yes.
Ryan Coonerty?
Yes.
Steve McShane?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. We're back to Rosa again. At this time, looks like some contract language in a action recommended there. So Rosa?
Okay, so this recommendation is to receive a report and recommend the board of directors approve another fiscal year 2021 adjustment of $9,000. And this is to cover costs from January to June 2021. And this is related to the reopening of the Article 21.5 cafeteria allowance in the MOU that we signed this year. So we entered into negotiations in February and the union ratified the agreement in July. Part of that agreement included the reopener of Article 21.5. The SEIU requested a reopener because the premium for the PERS choice rates, they increased by 8.67%. So the district and SEIU agreed on December 8th, that we would offset the impact of the health insurance increase to employees participating in the MBARD health plans. So we would increase that by 3.67%. And that exceeded the 5% benchmark that was on the agreement. The estimated total would be about $18,000. So we would just need the adjustment for the half of the year. So that was not in the budget, so we're requesting that the board recommend that the board approve this adjustment.
Just to add, Mr. Chair, that also only includes those people that are participating in PERS. So those people that do not participate will not be receiving that 3.67% increase in their cafeteria allowance or stipend that goes along with that.
Understood. Thanks. Any questions from committee members? Okay, seeing none, we'll go to the public. Anne, unless you've seen anything there or received anything, nothing here, okay. We'll bring it back to the committee for a motion.
So moved, Coonerty.
Okay, moved by Coonerty.
Second.
Seconded by Spencer. Anne, if you would call the roll.
Okay, please say yes or no when I call your name. Chris Lopez?
Yes.
Honor Spencer?
Yes.
Marianne Carbone?
Yes. Yes.
Ryan Coonerty?
Yes.
Steve McShane?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Next item is our lease agreement with Ambag. Rosa?
Okay, so this is our last item on the agenda. So we'd like to the committee to receive the report and make a recommendation to the board to approve the extension of the lease between the district and Ambag. So in 2014, the board of directors executed a letter of intent regarding a lease for office space at the district. In February 2016 with a five-year term that's going to end in February 2021. This included an optional extension for additional one-year periods on an annual basis upon the mutual consent of the parties. Ambag has exercised its right to extend the lease and has requested a five-year term beginning in February 2021 and ending in February 2026. Ambag has been a good tenant and the district would like to extend the lease at the same rate. The current monthly lease is about $5,900. It's about 2,488 square feet of office space, plus their non-exclusive right to use the common areas and bathrooms, et cetera. And it also includes the cost of janitorial services, maintenance, and utilities, and not the telephone or internet. So we, on an annual basis, it's about $71,000 in revenues to the district. Is included in our current budget.
And Mr. Chair, if I may, the reason we decided, we did a cursory look at real estate rates throughout the area. Currently, there are over 10 office buildings for lease within a mile of the district. Their rates are very competitive with what we're currently getting from Ambag. And I don't think we could find a better tenant. They're a pleasure to work with. They've been an excellent tenant. Actually, for most places, because of COVID, they haven't even been in the office for the past several months. And we anticipate that that will continue in the future. At least fewer people will be here because of work at home. Practices will probably continue for a majority of their staff. So with all that in mind, we decided not to renegotiate at a higher rate because we think it's pretty good right now. And we also know that we have other agencies that are looking to house them too. And so we want to make it attractive for them to stay.
Understood. Thank you for bringing this forward. Any questions from committee members? Seeing none, let's see if there's anything from the public. Nope. Coming back to the committee, we're looking for a motion.
I'll make a motion, we accept.
Okay. Moved by Spencer and seconded by
Carbone.
Thank you. Okay, great. Anne, will you call the roll?
When I call your name, please answer yes or no. Chris Lopez?
Yes.
Honor Spencer?
Yes.
Marianne Carbone?
Yes.
Ryan Coonerty?
Yes.
Steve McShane?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right, that concludes the business before the Budget Personnel and Nominating Committee. We are scheduled for our 1:30 meeting via Zoom, and we'll reconvene at that time. Thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you.